I'm Caroline Kelleher doing the interview duties for this edition of Hashtag My Radio Story with Doreen Lobsher in celebration of World Radio Day 2023. Good morning, Doreen.
Good morning, Carol Anne.
So, Dora, you are the online news editor at Algo FM, a presenter, Liberty Radio Award nominee, and a journalist podcaster. How did your radio story begin?
Very randomly, actually. I was at university and the then University of Port Elizabeth, and they had an open day for all the first year students to come see what kind of organizations you can join at varsity, what kind of things you can do after hours. And there was this table with a TV, and I thought it was an acting class maybe, or drama, because I always wanted to do drama. And they said, no, we're doing auditions for a radio station. We have a campus radio station here. I said, oh, cool. And I went for the audition, like a voice test, basically. Mm-hmm. And a couple of days later, I got a note on my res door that I must phone them because I passed the voice test. And that's how it started.
Okay. And from there?
From there, I was there at the campus radio for quite a few years. And then when I graduated, I went overseas. But when I came back, that's when my journey with Algo FM started. And I got offered a graveyard shift on a Saturday, which was midnight to 3. And I was still waitressing at the time. So I would waitress and then cash up and then quickly go over to the boardwalk. I would walk there and do my show from midnight till 3. And I was only on air for a month, I think, when our sister station, OFM, poached me to do breakfast there.
And look where you are now. How did that all come about? What did you study?
I studied psychology. I thought I wanted to be a psychologist to solve my problems and figure myself out. But then when the radio bug bit, I said to my dad, this is what I want to do. And he wasn't very happy, I'll be honest with you. My parents were very concerned. I mean, it's like saying, I want to be a movie star or I want to be a singer or whatever. And for any father, he just wants the children to pay the bills, you know. look at me now, Dad. It's a real job, you know. So I've been very blessed and very fortunate.
Okay, let's talk the Algo FM journey then. Okay, well, so you went to OFM
for 2 years, and I wasn't very happy there, I'll be honest. And then I went overseas. I just needed a break from radio. I needed to clear my mind. My friends say I ran away from my problems. Maybe that's what I do. But I went to the UK for 2 years, and it was fantastic. I traveled all over Europe. I worked really hard, saved my money. And then I came back, and again, Algo FM welcomed me back. I've been so blessed with our MD, Alfie J. You know, he's, I think for 3 times I came back to Algoa.
He can spot a gem, Doreen.
And it's the very same Alfie J who, when I moved to East London to go do the border drive with Gordon Graham, he said to me, look, there's a position opening up in the newsroom and I think that you could do it. And I was like, sure, I don't know. I mean, I am Afrikaans. I can speak Afrikaans, read Afrikaans news and write. And I really got thrown into the deep end. So I came back to Port Elizabeth. And I remember it took me an hour. All I had to do was translate English news bulletins into Afrikaans. And I had like 3 dictionaries around me. And all of a sudden, Afrikaans being my first language. But if you have to write news, it's a formal, formal language. And it was all of a sudden I couldn't speak Afrikaans. Like I had to find out the nice fancy words for things. And I mean, I just can't believe where I am now, just how my English improved. I'm Afrikaans girl, you know.
Your career is now in the newsroom.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. If you had to ask me, do I prefer being a DJ or in the newsroom? I would say the newsroom, hands down. I've really found my place.
Your niche.
My niche.
Let's talk the newsroom then, because it is such a fascinating, interesting beast. What is it like on a day-to-day basis? Some of the highlights and how do you cope with, for me, what must be incredible post-traumatic stress from everything that comes across your desk?
I don't think people realize that, how much of the negativity actually enters our brain. You know, I read the statement, then I have to rewrite the statement, then I have to read it on air. So I'm constantly engaging with this negative content.
And photographs.
Definitely. You do not want to see the type of images I have on my phone. I'm on so many different WhatsApp groups. I've got really graphic things on my phone.
So how do you cope with it?
Unfortunately, I think I've become so desensitized. which is not a good thing at all.
The general public is desensitized. You can sit watching the most horrific story on TV while you're eating your supper.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But I also think South Africans in general, we are a traumatized country.
The stress on a day-to-day basis, unbelievable.
Very much so. So what do? You just cope. You just get on with it, I guess.
Let's talk now abuse from listeners, because I'm horrified at what I see sometimes online. It's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Well, look, a lot of people might not know this, but I run the social media accounts for Algo FM News.
Yes, you are the online editor.
And also then the administrator of all the social media pages. So whenever we post something and people aren't happy, they will lash out. And obviously I take it personally, because I feel like they're lashing out at me, Doreen.
Yeah. Mm.
But they're lashing out at Algoa or the content. But I know last year, I mean, so many listeners said so many mean things about a story that I posted. I actually went home and I just burst out crying. I just said to my husband, like, today was just a really hard day. I sent some of those screenshots to you and I said, look what people are saying to me. They were wishing me dead.
It's unbelievable. Do you think that there's a type of person who does this?
I don't know if there's a type, Carol Ann, but I just think it comes back to, again, people are so traumatized, people are so angry, they are so frustrated, and it comes out online.
Yeah.
You know, it's just people. I always say, if you don't want to have something you said on a billboard for everyone to see, don't say it.
Don't put it. Yeah, absolutely. You have had a stalker or two in your time, haven't you?
Stalker is maybe a strong word, but yes, I will tell you that... when we were still at the boardwalk, one day the receptionist called me and said, look, there's someone downstairs to see you. And I said, well, I don't have an appointment. Who is this person? And quite honestly, I can't actually remember his name. And I went downstairs. And when I went down the stairs, I saw this guy. He was an older gentleman, gray already, with a cap on. And he was wearing two pairs of glasses over one another. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so I spoke to this guy, and he had driven all the way from East London to see me, and he wanted to take me out for lunch. And I was like, And he couldn't understand why I didn't want to go with him. And I said to him, look, that's not what we do. We don't do that. We don't just go out for a drink or for lunch. And it was getting a bit uncomfortable. And then he said, well, if I don't want to go, I must call Carol Ann. You don't even know this. And I was like, hey,
Doreen,
you were just offering me a drink. Now you want Carol Ann. Fine. But you know what? And then I went upstairs and I didn't want to see him. And this guy wouldn't go. He wouldn't leave. Then the next day he brought me a gift. And it was all wrapped up. And it was quite a big sketch, a pencil sketch of him as a child. So this was obviously something very old and possibly very dear to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave it to me. And... it was spooky.
That's very spooky.
It was very, very spooky.
Did he eventually just go away?
No, not at all. So I took ownership of this gift he gave me. I still remember I walked around the whole Algoa building.
I remember
building,
seeing it.
And I showed everyone. I said, look at this. It's creepy, man.
Yes.
And then he came back to Algoa and he asked for a tour. He wanted to have a tour of the building. And the person who organized it didn't know what was going on with me and the fact that he was a bit offish with me. And it was so bad that I had to hide in the bar. I was hiding in the bathroom at our offices until the tour was over. And I was so angry. And I said, guys, how can you let this guy come in? Yeah. But they didn't know. Mm-hmm. So there I was hiding in the bathroom.
And so how did you get rid of him? Did he just kind of go away?
He didn't go away. He kept writing me letters, sending me cards. And then when he realized, you know, I was not reciprocating any of this, he called me and he said, I want my gift back. I said, well, I never wanted it in the first place. You know, I said, give me your address and I'll send it to you. Mm-hmm. And well, he never asked for it again. And when we moved from the boardwalk, I threw it away.
Did you never think to actually, I mean, because that is harassment right there. Somebody who's in, you know, the news to actually say, hey, you need to do something about this guy.
Look, management was very helpful in this situation, I must admit. But you know what, Carol Ann, I think through in my 16 years in radio, I've had a lot of strange incidents like that.
I would imagine, yeah.
And there is a mental health element there. That's yes. why yeah. I don't okay. want to be...
There's compassion.
There is compassion okay. because there's definitely a mental health mm-hmm. issue with a lot of mm-hmm. These people that mm-hmm. that cross our paths.
Okay, let's talk compassion in the newsroom. Like when you go out and about and you go to court, what have been some of the, I say, highlights for you in terms of reporting on a story?
Yeah, highlight is such a...
It is...
For the lack of a yeah, better word. Yes, for, but yeah. I must say to you that when I did the Christopher Panayotu murder trial, it was probably at that time the highlight of my career. I had mm-hmm. never done a court case before. And here I was in a courtroom doing it from day one right up until the mm-hmm. end. And for me, it was such an incredible learning experience.
Yeah.
And I think it was just... It gave me also a passion for the law.
Everyone was captivated by that case.
Yes, so much so. And now we have the Arnold Tablange case, mm-hmm. which is the Panayotu case on steroids. I mean, it's... If I look back at Panayotu and I compare it to the Tablange case, which I'm doing my podcast on now, it's like...
The people who are downloading that, it grows every single day. And you have put an incredible... You've put your heart and soul into this. I love the title that you chose, Journey to Justice, because that is what it is. Please... Tell us, how did you decide this is what I want to do? Because this is now a passion for you.
Yes, and I must admit, I really didn't think that the podcast would be as popular as it turned out to be. And I know predominantly it's women who listen, and there is quite a big following on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think it came about when I wrote an article on the victim, Vicky Tablange. I was just tired of reading... She was found in a shallow grave. She was found in a shallow mm-hmm. grave. But who was this woman found in a shallow grave? How mm-hmm. did she end up in this grave? Who was this person? Mm-hmm. And I reached out to so many people, and some of them spoke to me anonymously. And I wrote a feature article on Vicky. It's a 15-minute read. It's mm-hmm. a really, really long story. And I thought, but this can actually be a podcast.
Yeah.
And that's really where it started.
Yeah.
And... when I was doing the podcast, I didn't realize how much I actually knew and uh-huh. How I have an investigative spirit inside of me. Like in my next life, I want to be a detective. So there's a lot of things in the podcast that wasn't out in the public domain yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also like that energy of chasing a story. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to the podcast for its conclusion, because we don't even have a trial date yet. So.
I was going to say, where do we stand now and what can we look forward to is I use the term loosely in terms of the next podcast.
No, sure.
Because, I mean, a woman has died.
Well,
but,
look, we need to wait for the trial to start now. And what a highlight for me will be that I'm looking forward to, for the lack of a better mm-hmm. term, is when the pathologist comes to testify. That is always so powerful mm-hmm. in the courtroom. That's when you see the photographs of the body. And I know it sounds grim, but you know what? You just kind of need
part
that.
Of the journey.
It's part
justice.
Of the journey. And it's for you to realize that is why we're here mm-hmm. in this courtroom in the first place.
Yeah.
And the pathologist will always give you the last moments of a person's life, like your body tells this incredible story.
Yes.
I remember with the Panayotu trial, when the pathologist testified with Jade, he testified that when she was shot, she actually had her arms raised. I mean, how incredible that your body and
can,
forensics can give you her last moments. Mm-hmm. That was so powerful to me that she was begging for her life.
Yes.
She was on her knees with her arms raised. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting goosebumps
chills,
just talking
yeah.
about it. So that is something I look forward to, is just to get Vicky Tablange her justice and to
Absolutely.
Tell her story,
yes.
you
yes.
know?
Okay, so in closing, let's get a little light to close. Most
Many.
Embarrassing
Many.
Story on air? Pick
it's,
one.
It's always it's always in saying something, like reading the news. I think the worst for me was one time on the news, we had a story about a bomb blast in Kabul.
Mm-hmm.
And I said kaboom. I mean, really now.
I've had some of those, yeah.
I called it a kaboom bomb blast. And, you know, you can't laugh with a story like that.
Of course
but
not.
I could feel the laughter building up all the way from my feet. And it was just that control to not laugh during the news. That's always really hard. You've had your fair share.
Oh, yes, some beautiful bloopers.
We have your bloopers in the newsroom. We listen to it every other Friday. I mean, I promise you, your bloopers are the best.
Doreen, it's been great chatting to you. You are a radio veteran through and through. And
thank
we look
you.
Forward to the rest of your career on Algo FM.
Thank you.
To more podcast series from
Definitely.
You. Because this is a passion and something that you have such a talent for.
Thank you, Carol Ann.